Welcome. In this interview with Martin Daniels, we discuss the ways in which e-publishing is dramatically disrupting the traditional publishing world. Martin starts out describing his latest venture, Read Petite.
When we do Read Petite, and I say when, I'm very hopeful that we will do Read Petite. You know, we're talking to people every week about the money and raising the money to do it. And we're not going to do it half-baked. So we get the money and do it properly, or we don't do it. But when we do it, we will monitor every single character that's read, and we will know that information. And in some respects, we will analyze that information and sell it back to people where it's appropriate, or we'll analyze it and give it back where it's appropriate. But the point is, everybody goes and points at Amazon and says, oh, they're the big bad wolf. They're not telling us what we really want to know. The reality is that we created that marketplace. It's not Amazon didn't, you know, all of a sudden create something and you know, they're the big bad wolf. You know, do Nook give you the information? Do Kobo give you the information? Do Google give you the information? Do Apple give you the information? No. So why single out Amazon? They're all the same. And if you actually put that gang of five together, well, probably it's probably a gang of three now, but if you put that gang of five together, they constitute probably 90% of all ebook sales worldwide.
Right.
So there is a kind of a mega kind of situation that has occurred, where there's a consolidation of digital, and you probably could add Overdrive into that kind of equation from the library market side, and not one of them give you information. And don't forget, they also work on honesty boxes. So in other words, they tell you what's sold. You've got no audit trail. Why any authors not actually or agent hasn't stood up and said, can you please verify that actually these were the numbers sold?
It's a really interesting point, because it puts a lot of trust in all of these publishers, really, to be straightforward in providing figures and honest royalties back to the authors. I don't know, is there any move afoot in the industry to counter that situation? Or
all I would say to you is that there is I know that one player's contract prohibits audit. So if you sign that contract, you can't audit them anyway.
Yeah.
And yet, I just cannot understand why agents aren't actually questioning the honesty box. Because what you've got is a situation whereby in the physical world, you count them out as they go out the warehouse. You know how many is printed? You count them out of the warehouse, and you count them in with the returns, and you know what the sales are. And at any point in time, you can actually sit down and work out exactly how many books are in circulation, how many's been sold, and what's due. You can't do that in the physical world, in the digital world. All that happens is you create one, you distribute it to, just for the sake of argument, 10, and they tell you what's sold.
Yeah.
It's a difficult world. It's no different to music. It's no different to other media. So, you know, it isn't something that's kind of like crept up and hit you. It is a fact of life, the honesty box approach. But what we still kid ourselves is we know what the sales are. If you look at physical sales today, there are more special sales taking place than ever before. But nobody questions what a special sale is, and it doesn't appear on a royalty statement. It's all net receipts,
right?
So you know, there's a lot of murky things going off in the world. I think digital is probably the least murky in some respects. The only thing that I kind of have a bit of an aversion to is in a day and age when I sell something today, and the person who sold it on my behalf has got paid today, why do I have to wait for 30 days for him to tell me what's been sold, and then wait for, another 60 days for the publisher to pay me. In other words, in a digital world, why are royalties still being paid on a physical model? It's just stupid. But that in some respects is down to the agents. And hey ho, they get paid. They have a beautiful contract for life on a deal. Their rights never revert.
You made a comment
Sorry.
in one of the blogs talking about two constants in the publishing value chain, and that's authors and consumer. So I'm thinking, if you follow that whole line of reasoning, what do you see as the value that agents or publishers or anybody else can actually contribute that's useful in the value chain? Is it a matter of helping the discoverability of different authors, or and helping in that promotion area, or finding ways to bring authors to prominence or something in the literary world? I mean, where is the value, I guess, for the future?
I think you have to, it's like any value chain. Most value chains are down to putting value in and being paid. The only in a physical world, what happened was the author put the initial value in, the publisher did some tarting up and editing and blah de blah de blah, but he then added a value in marketing and promoting and printing and distributing and fulfilling. And there was a lot of logic in the value chain as it existed. It was, predictable from author through agent through publisher through distributors, wholesalers, retailers. It was all pretty straightforward. There was a clear value statement that you could attach to each leg. When you get to the digital world, that starts to change, and it starts to change dramatically. And you start, you get now publishers won't accept work unless it's worldwide rights and every format known to man forever and a life. That's great if you want to sign everything away to one publisher. Now, my father-in-law's books, stumbled along. They were bestsellers. One was an International Emmy winner. One was a BAFTA winner. So you got two films out of six books, and they were very successful. And the publisher wanted to move them into a digital world, and we said, "Hey ho, no, you don't have the rights." And so we had a little protracted argument over rights, and we got the rights. And to this day, they still write letters saying, "We can do better for you, and we could make more money and more sales for you than self-publishing." I just laugh at these letters because, they're offering something like, I think one is about 20% royalty on net receipts, which I may get whenever, and I've got no way of tracking. I know today exactly how many of his books sold today on Kindle. I know exactly how much money is coming to me. It may not be accurate, but I don't care. I know what they're telling me today. I know what check I'm going to get tomorrow. And believe it or not, my father-in-law is dead now. He died last year, but my mother-in-law, who's also an ex, she's written 34 novels. We send a check virtually every month for a couple of grand in royalties, and she's very happy. And you go, this was dead material that wasn't going anywhere, and we haven't got out of bed, we haven't advertised it, we haven't marketed, we haven't done anything with it, we've just put it up there, and it's selling every day, it's selling
How did people
now
find it? How did they discover it?
because they discover it in lots of different ways. People discover things nowadays through the kind of You get the big bang approach, i.e., you get the big viral explosion or the big kind of name drop or the big advertising, et cetera, and that will always prevail. So there'll always be a massive bestseller based on, 50 Shades of Grey, whatever. But you'll then get the viral one where 50 Shades of Grey came from nowhere, where people find it and talk about it, and it just keeps ticking away. And in some respects, it's down to the metadata and the keywords that you put in there. I've learned one thing looking at Derek's books. The two books that sell have got cats on the jacket. Pictures of cats on the jacket. Put a
Right.
picture of a cat on your jacket, you'll sell. Forget everything else. One lesson to learn today is put a cute kitten on the jacket of your book.
Thanks for listening. We hope you'll join us for the next interview in this ongoing series.